worship God now in the reading of His holy and divine word in Luke chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 21 of Luke 2, and the text, which I will not reread, is verses 15 through 20. The word of God at Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now verses 15 through 20 are the text. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far we read the inspired and infallible Word of God. May He bless His Word to our hearts. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, an angel of the Lord came down and glory shone around. This was, for these men, rough cut men, simple men, believing men, an event that was totally unexpected and which occasioned in them, as we read in verse 9, great fear. They were sore afraid. They were mega afraid, is really what verse 9 says. For in the glorious light of the heavenly messenger who came to them, These men saw their own sin and sinfulness revealed in all its ugliness, and knew themselves worthy to be condemned and consumed by the holiness of God, which shone around them when the angel came. Which is why the angel began his message to them with the words, "Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid, for I have not come to destroy, but to bring glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all God's people." The angel announced to the shepherds that very day, verse 11, that unto them was born a Savior, who was Christ the Lord. These were believers after all. They confessed the truth of Psalm 47 that we sang, that God remembers His promise. And while generations go, He does not forget His word to His people of old. They knew the prophecy of Isaiah 9 verse 6, which proclaimed, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And now the angel came to tell them that that prophecy had been fulfilled, for unto them, unto those shepherds, and unto all of God's people was born that night a Savior who was Christ the Lord. In fulfillment of that angel's glad gospel to the shepherds, the whole host of heaven appeared to confirm that word, and bursting with praise and gladness and joy to the God of salvation, who had fulfilled His promise and who had brought salvation to His people. Before the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, the heavenly choir sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Or as another version puts it a little more accurately, "On earth peace toward those with whom God is pleased." It must have seemed to those shepherds as if for a few moments they were caught up into the very heights of heaven itself, in the very presence of God on His throne, as the angels sang to God's glory. But then, as the beginning of our text records, the angels went away into heaven. As suddenly as they had appeared, they disappeared. And the darkness of the night surrounded the shepherds once again, and the silence of the night descended, and the question faced them, "What do we do now?" In their excitement, they determined to go and see this child whose birth was announced to them, to adore Him who was born, their Lord, Christ, their Savior. And although it may not have formed part of their resolution when they decided to go and see what had been told unto them, they went from the manger to announce to all and sundry what had been told them concerning the child who was born. So we consider this evening our text under the theme, "Excited Shepherds Visit the Newborn Christ." Excited shepherds visit the newborn Christ. We'll notice first their actions, secondly their adoration, and third their announcement. The shepherds, after the angels went away from them into heaven, resolved to do especially two things: to go unto Bethlehem, verse 15, and see this thing which has come to pass. These actions that the shepherds determined to do are evidence of their faith, evidence that these men were believers and they received the Word of God as it was brought to them by the angel. They believed that Word. God gave them faith so that they laid hold of that Word, and they received it as the gospel to themselves. And out of that faith, they acted. You notice here the inevitability of good works that God produces in His people. Those whom He justifies by faith in Christ also, it is inevitable, will bring forth fruits of thanksgiving. And you see their faith here being justified by their actions. They did not simply receive this word and say, that was a nice Christmas concert we just heard from those angels, and continue going on what they did. But they received the word and they acted upon it in faith. They acted, first of all, to go to Bethlehem. Verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And that word now is a part of speech in the original language that we don't have in the English, but it is a word that indicates urgency, that indicates the action being taken must be done immediately, without any delay. We can read it this way, up, let us get going at this very minute to Bethlehem. If any of their fellow shepherds were reluctant to take that hasty action to go to Bethlehem, they encouraged one another. You see that in verse 15 as well. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. This wasn't a decision that one took by himself, but they agreed on this. They took counsel together. And if any were reluctant, they were encouraged. They were stirred up by their fellows. Come with us. Let us go even unto Bethlehem. Verse 16 adds that they came with haste. They came on the run. They came with all possible speed to find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, we may think it was fairly easy for them to decide to do this and to take this decision and to perform this activity of going to Bethlehem. But in fact, it was more difficult than simply strolling to Bethlehem and strolling back home in time for breakfast in the morning. They had to leave their sheep behind. These men were shepherds. They were called, and their occupation was to keep sheep, and their welfare as people and their life was tied up with their flocks. But they had no time to gather their sheep together and herd them to Bethlehem. The manger scenes that we see in people's yards of a shepherd with some sheep gathered around the manger is not accurate. The shepherds took no sheep with them. The Christmas carol that we sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, a verse that we often don't sing, captures the truth of the matter when it says, see how the shepherds summoned to his cradle, leaving their flocks, draw nigh in godly fear. The shepherds left their flocks to go to Bethlehem. In addition to that, they had to travel some distance. Verse 8 tells us that they were in the same country as Bethlehem. But that does not mean right around the corner. We might say they were in the same country as Bethlehem in the sense that Dune is in the same country as, say, Sioux Falls, not on the other side of the country, but not exactly just around the corner either. They had a journey ahead of them to go as far as Bethlehem. The wording of verse 15 indicates that when they say, let us go even unto Bethlehem, let us go as far as Bethlehem and pass through all the distance and all the villages that we may have to in order to get that far. And that way would not be lit by street lamps at every so often. They had to travel through the impenetrable darkness of the night with perhaps a few stars twinkling overhead. We should imagine the shepherds gathering together a few things, lighting lamps or lanterns to light their way, perhaps oil lamps to make some light in the darkness, and setting off to Bethlehem. Why did they go with such haste? Why did they take this action of going to Bethlehem? And again, I say, because they heard the word of God. They received the word of God that the angel preached to them. That's how they interpreted it. Verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. When the angel announced the gospel of Christ's birth, they understood that to be the very word of God to them. When the angel sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men with whom God is pleased, the shepherds understood that as a message from the Lord. When the angel told them in verse 12, ye shall find the babe, the shepherds received that as a promise of God to them that they would find the babe. They understood something about the word of God. And that is, the word of God is not given to us merely for information or for instruction, but it is given to us to be followed and listened to and obeyed in our life. The shepherds did not simply receive the word of God for information. They received it as a call to action, as a call to bestir themselves and in faith, by the grace of God, to act in obedience and in faithfulness to that word of God. The word of God said to them, don't just sit there. Don't continue. Don't remain here in the darkness of the night. Go, ye shall find the babe. And that brings us to their second activity of finding the child. Once they got to Bethlehem after traveling there, it was not simply a matter of going to a particular place. For the shepherds were not given a particular address by the angel. They were not given a house number and a street address at which they could find the Savior who was born, Christ the Lord. They had to search for Him. They had... three pieces of information to go on from the angel, according to verses 11 and 12. Number one, they understood that they were to seek the child in the city of David. And even though it's not explained what the city of David is, verse 4 explains it as Bethlehem. And the shepherds, as believing Israelites, would have known that the city of David was Bethlehem. We remember that when the wise men would come to visit the infant king, perhaps as long as 2 years after Christ was born, they did not know where he had been born. So mistakenly, they first went to Jerusalem and asked, where is the king of the Jews? And then had to redirect their steps to Bethlehem. The shepherds did not make that mistake. They went to the city of David. They went to Bethlehem. Number two, the angel had told the shepherds, verse 11, that a Savior was born to them that day. The shepherds knew that they were not looking for a grown man on a horse, a general commanding an army, or a prophet teaching people the word of God, but they were looking for a newborn child. They were looking for a baby boy, perhaps only a few hours old. And third, and most significant of all, verse 12, the shepherds were told, this is the sign. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That told them two things. Number one, don't look for anything special. Look for a baby swaddled like any other baby would have been at that time by his Jewish mother. Swaddled to keep his limbs tight to his body and from moving too much. Look for a child like any other swaddled. But also look for extreme poverty. Look for this child where you least expect him. Look for him lying in a manger. Look for deprivation. Look for squalor. Look for circumstances such that if a child were born in these conditions today, CPS would be called to bring him into foster care. Look for an ordinary family in extraordinary poverty. With that promise of God and that word of God to them, the shepherds searched until they found the babe. Verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. That word found means to discover or to come upon after searching. If you are walking and you find a dollar bill on the road, you would not use the word in verse 16 because you were not looking for a dollar bill. You came upon it as you were going about your business. But if you're looking for a 50 that you're sure was in your wallet, and after turning the house upside down looking for it, you find it crushed between the cushions of the couch, you would use this word. You have found your 50 after searching high and low for it. The shepherds found the babe after searching, after knocking on doors, mind you, in the middle of the night, asking if a baby boy was born in such and such a house today, after perhaps finding several mangers but no babies in them, even being tempted to give up their search, being discouraged, they kept going, encouraged by the promise of God, "Ye shall find the babe," and find him they did. Beloved, our search for Jesus today is less about searching for him, less arduous in that respect than the shepherds' search for Jesus was. We know where Jesus is now. We don't need to look high and low for him. We know that the babe in Bethlehem's manger has become the man of glory, who now sits at God's right hand in heaven. That's where the man Jesus is in his human nature. And from heaven he will come at the time appointed by God at the end for his final and glorious coming. Moreover, we know how to find Jesus. Although he is in heaven, at the right hand of God, we know how to find him as we continue on this earth, for he is with us and he speaks to us through his word, through the inspired scriptures, and especially through the preaching of that word in his house where his people gather together for worship, to call upon his name and to confess faith in him as Lord and Savior. We know how to find Jesus today. Indeed, as the risen and exalted Lord who has poured out his Spirit on his church, Jesus is even within us. He lives in our hearts. He abides with us continually through his Spirit that he has given to us. Our search for Jesus is less arduous than the shepherds, but is it less fervent? Is it less eager? That ought not be so, for we have him near. We have him in his word. We have him in the proclamation of his gospel. We have access to the throne of grace in prayer through Christ as our intercessor who brings our prayers to God and who on the basis of his finished work prays for our requests to be granted? Do we meditate on the promises of His Word, on this Word of God to us, that unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord, that for you He lived the perfect life that none of us could ever live, that for you and for me He laid down His life, and for you and for me He arose and ascended. This glorious gospel of Christ, near at hand, is it in our hearts? Is it the object of our meditation? Is it our delight to find Him and meet Him in His house? The actions of the shepherds spoke of their faith. Do our actions and our lives do the same? Having acted to go to Bethlehem and to find the babe, the shepherds adored Him in His manger cradle. Verse 16, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And that makes their adoration all the more striking for what they found. They did not find anything that would indicate in any way whatsoever that this child was who the angel had told them He was, that He was Christ the Lord. Nativity scenes and depictions of the birth of Christ in art destroy the beautiful simplicity and tender glory of the manger scene. There were no angels hovering over the spot, because verse 15 tells us all the angels went away again into heaven. There was no heavenly light filling the stable or the area where the manger was. For the glory of God had shone around the shepherds while the angel was with them, but that too had gone away when the angels went away into heaven. There was not even the thinnest gold halo around the head of the infant Christ to indicate that this child was divine, different than any other baby that had been born. The shepherds saw a child swaddled and lying in a manger. There was nothing here to impress them, but everything to make their flesh, as well as ours, say, no thank you. If this is how our Savior is going to come, we want no part of it. To turn them away. There was no beautifully painted room, no quiet music playing in the background, no scented candle filling the air, no soft blankets or quilts made by Grandma. The shepherds found a humble family in very deep poverty. They found Mary and Joseph, says the text. They found Mary, the new mother of Christ, having brought forth her firstborn son. Mary was no doubt a joyful mother and a happy mother, but also a very tired mother who was attempting to learn under circumstances that were probably very different than what she had imagined when 9 months before the angel Gabriel had come to her in Nazareth and said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and that which is born from you will be called the Son of God. Had she imagined 9 months before that she would give birth in a stable and lay her firstborn son in a manger, and under those conditions have to learn to feed and to swaddle and to change and to comfort her baby? The shepherds found Joseph, not of course the father of Christ, but the legal guardian and adopted father of Jesus, who was no doubt trying his best to do what he could for his wife and for the son that she had just birthed while they were far from home and in very unusual circumstances with no room in the inn. Above all, the shepherds found the babe, just as the angels said they would, lying in a manger. Notice that in the text and in context, the manger is mentioned three times as the outstanding characteristic of the birth of Christ. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Verse 12, the angel's word, "You shall find the babe lying in a manger." And now verse 16, they found the babe lying in a manger. Three times this is emphasized, that the shepherds found the babe lying on straw that would be eaten by animals in the food box. There they saw who the angel had told them was Christ the Lord. They saw with their eyes of flesh something that was repugnant. But they looked not only with the eyes of flesh, they looked with the eyes of faith. When it says they had seen it, verse 17, that means when they had seen it and believed. For these shepherds, having come to the manger, believed that the child swaddled there was, as the angel said, their Savior and their Christ and their Lord. They believed those three things about this child, that he was a Savior, and not just a Savior, but the Savior, and more particularly, their Savior. They believed that this child was born. This was the child promised to deliver them from sin and death and hell and the grave. They saw by faith not only a tiny, helpless baby swaddled by his mother, but they saw the one whom God had promised already to Adam and Eve in the very first promise of Christ. They saw the seed of the woman who had come, who had been born to crush the head of the serpent, to break the back of the devil. Secondly, they believed that he was Christ, that he was the promised Messiah, that he was the one in whom all the Old Testament promises of the Messiah were fulfilled. From Genesis 3 verse 15 and the promise of the seed of the woman to the promise of by Moses in Deuteronomy 10 of a prophet greater than himself, the prophecies of Isaiah of Emmanuel and the child who would be called Wonderful Counselor and the shoot out of the root of Jesse, and the prophecy of Malachi, the final word of God to His people before 400 years of darkness, of a Son of Righteousness who would arise with healing in His wings. The shepherds believed that this baby was that Messiah, that Christ, anointed by God to be their prophet, priest, and king, and to make them priests and kings unto God. Again, not because they saw it with the eyes of flesh, but because God had spoke to them by the angel and had said, "That child who you will find is Christ." The shepherds believed. And finally, they believed that this baby was the Lord, their Lord. That this baby was the God who had made them, who had given them life, who had created the whole world around them, who had even brought them to the manger to adore Him there, who owned them. They believed this baby was the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the I am that I am, the creator of heaven and earth. Again, not because they saw that with their eyes of flesh, but because God had told them in His Word, the child you will find is your Lord. Therefore they adored. They adored and worshipped Him who was God in the flesh. The infinite becoming finite in a less than day old baby. The Creator of the heavens and the earth taking the form of a created human nature. Consider also that the shepherds did not see what we see. They saw only a tiny glimpse into the kingdom of God. They saw only the child swaddled and lying in a manger. We don't read anywhere in the Gospels that these shepherds ever met the adult Christ and heard His sermons and witnessed His miracles and with the crowds stood in amazement at His teaching. They didn't see what we see by faith. We see Christ crucified on the cross. We see the wood of the manger becoming the wood of the cross on which Christ humbled Himself even unto death as a sacrifice for our sins. By faith we see Jesus raised from the dead the third day, and in so doing conquering death and the grave and opening heaven's door for us forever. By faith we see Jesus at the right hand of God in heaven and coming on the clouds of glory for a final time in judgment, in destruction of this present world and all wickedness, and to make all things new. The shepherds saw only a flicker of light in comparison with what we as believers now see. And yet they adored. They worshipped. They saw. And they praised. Will we not also adore? Will we not hear them speak to us through their actions and through their adoration in the pages of Scripture? Come. Let us adore Him. Having made their adoration at the manger, the shepherds announced what they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. Notice that the shepherds in verse 15 speak about what the Lord has made known unto us, the message of the angels. And then in verse 17, they make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spoke what they had received. They became the first witnesses of Jesus Christ. We can understand that to mean, first of all, they spoke to Joseph and Mary about what they had heard concerning Christ. Can we imagine that these shepherds came to the manger and witnessed the swaddled Christ lying there and did not tell Joseph and Mary that the reason for their visit was that an angel of the Lord had appeared to them? That the glory of the Lord had shone round about them, that an angel had spoken to them, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that they had resolved, hearing that word of God, to come and see. Mind you, the shepherds were not the kind of visitors that any mother here would likely welcome to the cradle side of their newborn. They probably wouldn't get past the nurse's station in any hospital, certainly not now, because they were rough men. They smelled like sheep. They had come from the fields. They were sweaty from their efforts. And here they come to worship at the manger and announce these glad things to Joseph and Mary. But their visit was a means and a gift of God to Joseph and Mary also to share what they had been told concerning this child also by angels. Mary could speak of the announcement to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Joseph could speak of the angel who had appeared to him in a dream and had told him that he should not be afraid to take Mary as his wife because the child conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost and would be Emmanuel, God with his people. And so this visit of the shepherds and their announcement to Joseph and Mary was a means for the mutual strengthening of faith among these believers in Jesus Christ. But the shepherds didn't stop with Joseph and Mary. They went forth from the stable and away from the manger to bring the news of the birth of Christ far and wide. They, we read, made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went through Bethlehem. They went through the surrounding countryside, calling and announcing what had been told to them. Christ is born in Bethlehem. A Savior who is Christ the Lord has come. Messiah has been born. Emmanuel, God with us, is here. Rejoice and be glad. This is good news. Go to Bethlehem. See Him there. And worship Him as King. We like to sing, or we like to hear our children sing, because they sing it with such enthusiasm, the carol, Go Tell It on the Mountain. The shepherds went and told it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. They made known abroad what God had made known to them concerning this child. What of us? Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it wherever you have opportunity. Tell it at the office, at the workplace, on the farm, in the grocery store, to your neighbors who may not know the Lord Jesus or who may know Him imperfectly, at the coffee shop or the cafe where you frequent and where you've begun to form relationships with the workers or the customers who are regulars there. If you don't think you can tell them what has been told you concerning this child, direct them where they may find that information in the congregation, in the worship services in our church or on our church's website. If these shepherds who had such little understanding of the gospel apart from what they received from the Old Testament scriptures and what had now been told them by the angel, if they could spread it abroad and proclaim the good news as it was told unto them, ought we not, with our far greater understanding, make known what we have heard and what we read concerning this child? That there was a twofold response to their announcement made no difference to the shepherds announcing what had been told them. There was the response of faith. That was the response of Mary, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary heard the announcement of the shepherds. heard them tell what the angel had said to them, and she treasured it up in her heart with all the things that had been told to her about Christ. She was a mother after all, and mothers love to treasure up things concerning their children in their hearts. It's mothers who remember the first step. It's mothers who remember the first tooth. It's mothers who remember the first smile. Mary treasured the things that were told her concerning her child in her heart. She meditated on them. She turned them over and over. She thought upon them. And through thinking upon them, her faith was increased through the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. There was also the reaction of unbelief. Verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That word wonder isn't how we often use it. I wonder if this is true or if this will happen. But it's amazement. People who heard what the shepherds had to say were amazed. They were shocked. The Messiah is born in Bethlehem. What news is this? Brought to us by shepherds. But their amazement did not translate into going to Bethlehem and seeing what was told them and adoring the infant Christ. It was something they were curious about for a couple of days, and then they returned to life as usual. We read of no long lines of worshipers making their way to the manger after they heard what the shepherds said. Bethlehem was unmoved by the news that the Christ had come. And yet the shepherds, we read in verse 20, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The gospel always has that twofold effect when it is proclaimed, of faith and unbelief. But to the people of God, it does not diminish our glory and praise of Jehovah. The shepherds returned. They returned to the sheep that they had left. They returned to their occupation and their calling. They weren't called to remain in Bethlehem. They were called to be shepherds. And yet these men's lives were changed forever. They returned to their sheep as different men than they had left and gone to Bethlehem and seen the infant King. And that's the final point. Every year, we remember the birth of Christ. Every year, Christmas comes. And every year, Christmas changes us. It will in this year. How could it not, in light of everything that has happened in God's providence in the year that has gone by? The gospel of Christmas, which is the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ, the gospel of His peace to all for whom He is pleased, leaves its hearers more like the shepherds, more eager and zealous to hear the Word of God, to receive it by faith, and to make it known abroad. But it also leaves its hearers more like those who heard the word, but on whom it had no lasting impact, who did not act on the word of God made known to them, and who did not make known abroad the saying that was told them concerning that child. Will we be closer to Christ because of this Christmas, or further away at this time and in the year to come will we know and enjoy our Savior more, which leads us then to adore Him more deeply and to serve Him more faithfully, to repent of our sins against Him more deeply, and to rejoice in His grace more joyfully. Glorify, beloved, and praise God. Sing with the angels, glory to God. Celebrate peace on earth that has come through the work of Christ's Spirit in your hearts, justifying you by faith and opening access to you to heavenly glory. With the shepherds, adore Him at the manger, who was born to die, who is now risen and exalted, the God of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Come, beloved, and adore Him tonight and tomorrow and always, in the hope of adoring Him and gazing on Him forever with the shepherds and with all His people in heavenly joy and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for what has been made known unto us concerning the child Jesus and now the man Jesus Christ and our exalted Lord. Give us grace to receive it by faith. Help our unbelief, which is always ready to question Thy Word. Help us to ponder these things in our hearts. Let them sink down into our souls. Turn them over in our minds. And through Thy Spirit, working through that Word, increase our faith. And out of that which we are convicted of, may we speak to others. Give us opportunity to make known abroad the saying which has been told us concerning our Savior and Lord. And bless our witness of Him according to Thy will, to gather in those who are Thine, to drive away those who are not, and in all things to bring glory to Thy most holy name and the name of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.